Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists like Leslie put people at the heart of everything they create.
With my team at Comcast, we developed the Xfinity Voice Remote and tested it to recognize different types of accents, inflections, and languages.
New movies?
Movies for kids.
Películas para las familias.
Now 40 million voice commands a day are heard by the Xfinity Voice Remote. Visit ComcastCorporation.com to learn more.
Moncrief on News Talk.
As a photographer, Ruth Mejbjerg first came to prominence for many people during the pandemic when she had the genius idea of taking pictures of people through their windows. Nowadays, she is more likely to be on the road taking pictures of musicians and their fans. Ruth, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Now, in that introduction, I know I've done a grave disservice to your career because it's not like you just popped out of nowhere during the pandemic. You've been taking music pictures for forever. In your 73
for my
years.
Forever. Yeah. For yes. my forever. And I don't think you did me a disservice. You said the word genius and I was like,
okay, all right, fair enough. I made up for it there. But and your dad used to sell cameras and photography equipment.
It was the late 80s. Everyone was pinching pennies and stuff. And dad worked for a camera like wholesale distributor. So instead of putting me into childcare and having to pay for that, he used to just put me in the back of the van with all the cameras. Mm. And we'd go around selling these cameras to like the camera centre in Galway or to John Gunn's up the road. Do you know? So my introduction to cameras and photography was very early on, and it garnered a huge obsession in me. I loved it. I loved the magic of it. I loved going into the camera stores. I loved the smell of the chemistry. And, you know, I was like a 4-year-old playing with blower brushes and litmus paper. It was weird. It was very, very weird, but it was lovely. It was a little form of expression for me, and it was cheap and easy and accessible. And then kind of as I continued on and became a teenager, as everyone does, I fell in love with music. You know, I was one of those Central Bank kids that hung out there like little goth girl and all the skateboarders and all the punks. And I got into music in a big way, like a huge way. And I couldn't play a note, still can't sing or anything, but I knew I wanted to be involved in the music community. So I started going to all these all ages gigs, which sadly don't exist anymore for the kids these days, but they thankfully did when I was about 14. And I saw a photographer there taking pictures of the bands, and I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm a music photographer. And I was like, oh my God, that's a job. Mm-hmm. So I kind of made it my be all and end all to have that job, to make it a career. So I fought tooth and nail to do everything I could. I went and got a kind of irrelevant but slightly relevant degree, and then went and worked in Hot Press, and that, you know, I continued on then taking commissions for NME and Rolling Stone and doing all the festivals, you know, shooting Glastonbury. I just started really living what I thought was what is my best life.
Yeah,
you know, I had the crack.
And so would you have made the transition then from when you were first working for Hot Press, would that have been film?
No, I learned on film. I did, you know, because I started college back in 2003 in Kolochadulik, and then I went to DIT, and we had to learn film. It was kind of bed into us by the tutors. It's like digital was up and coming, but I don't think the tutors had such a strong grasp on digital that they were still teaching us in film. And thankfully, that's great because it's relevant in my life these days. I love shooting on both. So I do know how to process in a darkroom. I just don't have the time to do it.
Yes,
like
yeah.
Who does in a professional career out on the road for 18 months at a time or whatever? I don't have time to do film, process it and fall in love with it all over again. But I shoot on everything and anything I can get my hands on, from Polaroid to film to digital. I love it.
Yeah. The other night I watched that there's a movie called, is it Lee or Miller? I forget, but it's about the photographer Lee Miller.
Is it out yet? Was that, is that with Kate Winslet in
That's
it?
With Kate Winslet
yeah.
in it, yeah. I just kept because like they're driving through Germany and it's devastated, and she's taking photographs on a big kind of brownie. It's
and then she drops them into boots to be processed.
Well, yeah, I was wondering where do you process this stuff? Because the voiceover was telling us they haven't washed in days, and you know they're going through all these devastated cities and everything.
I suppose you'd send them home, and then there was early war photographers that would build portable darkrooms that would, you know, attach to the back of a horse and carriage, and they'd travel with this moving darkroom.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's dedication and commitment. I can't do that on a moving tour bus.
Yes.
I would be the most hated person on tour if I took over the entire lounge to turn it into a darkroom.
So when you were starting out, when you were doing, you know, your early stuff for Hot Press, mm-hmm. What mistakes did you make? What things shouldn't you? No, because that's how one learns. What kind of things should you not do if you're a music photographer?
Do you know what? There's loads of things that you should not do and you should do. But the main thing I think of any career in the creative professional career, which is what I do, you just have to be polite and respectful to people around you. That's it. I mean, when I started in hot press, I was only about 18, and thankfully there was an amazing photo editor in there at the time called Graeme Keogh. And he set me on my first assignment, and it was to go shoot Roisin Murphy down in the Village.
Cool.
Right? And I was delighted. I was like, oh my God, here I go. I'm a big girl now. I've got a job. So I went down and I took photos, and I thought I kind of smashed it. I was like, that was really good. I got every angle. I blagged my way to the balcony, did everything. I sent the pictures through to Graeme, and then with bated breath, I waited, and he sent back an email, and it was pages long, and it was full of criticisms and critiques. And it was like, you did this wrong. You need to do this better. This one's blurry. What are you thinking here? And I was devastated. I was like, oh my God. But the thing I didn't do was snap back, which I find a lot of the time, because I do mentor sessions now with young photographers or inexperienced photographers, and sometimes they clap back. They're just like, you don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. But what I did was just like, thanks very much for the opportunity. I'll listen to your feedback and da-da-da. And that's kind of what I learned in the hot press and everything else, is if you're just eager to learn the craft and stick with it, like, nobody's amazing when you start off.
No.
I wasn't amazing. I'm still not amazing. Like, I'm not one of those naturally talented people that just has an eye for photography. Like, I see that in kids some days. But like, I stayed with it. And for me, it was a very hard won craft. Like, I listened to everything everybody told me, and I just stayed with it. And I still try and teach myself every day how to do something new. I'm still learning. And that's, I think, probably, apart from just being nice to people, being sound, being professional, being polite, and then just try and better yourself every day. They're the only things I can tell people. The skills, the technology, the everything else will come to you in time. So will your own style. You know, everyone's like, how do you get your style? I'm like, it just appeared one day. You just keep taking photographs and it'll appear. But yeah, just keep learning. I'm still learning. I'm learning how to do video, and I hate video, but I'm learning.
When you look at your own work then, do you go, oh yeah, that's my style? And how would you define it?
It's like people had said to me when they come to my talks and things, because I like to do a lot of talks because I like the sound of my own voice, but I like to kind of give back to people. And people would be like, oh, I can tell when it's a ruthless photograph instantly. And I'm like, how? And they're like, oh, it's very bright and vibrant, and it's a snapshot of an emotion. And I'm like, that's such a huge honor that people can pick my photographs out of a lineup. So yeah, for me, it's hard to kind of see my own style, but it's just the way I shoot. And if I try and shoot in someone else's style, I fail. Miserably. So yeah, the authenticity has to be there. I have to just be doing what I want to do.
And when you're taking a picture of, particularly of a musician, and they're in the midst of what they're doing, is there a balance between getting close enough to them but not getting in their face? Because I imagine no one wants a flash going off in their face when they're trying to concentrate.
Well, absolutely. That's the thing. You're not allowed flash in the pit anyway. So you don't ever use your flash in a gig setting, because you should be in ninja mode. You know, nobody is supposed to be looking at me. If they're looking at me, I'm doing it wrong, you know. So there's a reason I dress all in black. And I'm very grateful to be 5'2", because people can see over my head. I'm never in anyone's way. It's huge. I don't want to interrupt the performer. I don't want to get them out of the zone. And I don't want the crowd to be looking at me either. They've paid to look at the band. So you have to be very, very discreet and allow it to be this intimate kind of thing that you're doing. So, yeah, there's a huge balance. Yes, you know, you have to know when to go and steal that photograph and take it for yourself and, you know, absolutely seize it. But then you also, especially on tour, when you're granted access to everybody's most vulnerable, intimate moments, you have to know when not to take the photograph. And that's just as important. And people are saying to me like, oh my God, so-and-so is over there and they're, you know, they're with this person. And oh, how come you're not photographing it? And I'm like, because I know when not to take the photograph.
Yeah. The temptation must be.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge.
But like, if you're, like, you do a lot of work with Hozier, if, you know, Hozier's in tears, exhausted after a gig.
Yeah.
Would you take a picture? Would you say, do you mind if I take a picture?
Because I'd probably, you know, because I know him so well, and he'd hate this. But because I know him so well, I'd probably take a few very, very sneaky, quiet ones and then go up and be like, yeah, all right, love. And I'll see what the story is with him and if it's just exhaustion or whatever. And then I'd never, ever release a photograph where someone doesn't look their best. What I feel their version of their best is and what I know that they like to be perceived as. Mm. So if it is just a raw moment of something tearful and it's emotion and, you know, it's nothing bad, I'd clear it with him or whoever it is first. It's that level of trust. You know, I'm 38 now. I've been doing this professionally really since I'm 16. And that's one of the biggest things I had to learn is that it's a huge, like there has to be this trust between us. It's a huge level of responsibility that they give me to respect their space and respect their image and their needs and what they want. And I'm almost there to kind of protect them in a way as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
And pictures of fans.
Love it. Love it. Love the fans.
Yeah. But I imagine your strategy there is maybe different in that, you know, as you say, you're like you're in the pit or you know, you're backstage or whatever. But when you're taking pictures of fans, are you kind of getting in among them?
I am 100% in with them. I am the, like, because I love what I do. And that's, you know, I can't stress that enough. I was one of those kids, right? So when, depending on who's at the show, whether we're doing a huge festival like Lollapalooza or whatever, or whether we're doing one of our own shows and we have a crowd of fans and I know them all now and they kind of know me as well. But like, so they could be 15, 16, 17. They could be, you know, in their 30s, 40s, whatever. It doesn't really matter. They're all there for the same thing. And it's that passion for the experience that's in front of them. But like, that was me. I used to queue up outside the Olympia. I used to mitch off school and I'd queue up outside the Olympia from 8 a.m. in like a leather miniskirt and I'd be like waiting for Placebo or the Manic Street Preachers or whatever. I was hardcore. I had to be at the barrier. So I always, like, when I'm doing this job, I'm taking photographs for the artist, for the management, for the label, for press, for all of those things. But I'm also taking photographs for the fans because there's nothing better for me than those fans looking at the photographs an hour or two after the show or whenever they catch their breath. And they're looking at my photos and they're like, it's like being back at the gig again. I want the photos to be representative of the experience that they're having there at the show. So if it's blurry and wild and sweaty, then amazing. So I try to capture the whole atmosphere of the 2 hours of a show condensed into a couple of photographs. And then I'll know I've done my job all right.
Yeah. And when you're taking those photographs, are you too, do you have to kind of, if say it's, you know, in the back of your head, you're going, God, they're really good tonight.
Yeah.
You have to not look at that. You have to ignore that. You can't let yourself enjoy the gig is what I suppose.
I thoroughly enjoy the gig. I'm like a little Tasmanian devil in the gig. I turn around and around and around. I'll photograph the fans. I'll go from the back of the venue to the drum kit. I'll go upstairs. I'll climb up to the gods. I'll do the whole thing and I'll do it all. This is why I don't like video as well. I love shooting stills because I get to sing along and I get to dance along. Do you know, I get to keep myself in the rhythm of the song and I get to have a bop and I get to sing. And that's just so that I can enjoy it as much as the fans and be part of the whole experience and be very representative of what is. When I'm doing video, I can't sing because I listen back and I hear my voice and I'm like, Jesus, good Lord. And I can't. But yeah, so I do try and, you know, I'll focus on everything and anything in the whole show.
What do you think then, because this comes up everywhere, this may be a cranky old fart kind of complaint. Everyone's there with their phone. It's all mediated through a screen. They're not actually there.
Yeah. You know, that irks me a bit because I feel like they are not experiencing the show the way it is designed to be experienced because they're looking at it through their phones, you know. And I do watch some people in the front row and I'm like, God, you've spent so much time and effort and money to be here. Look up from your phone. So I do try and make a conscious effort to communicate to people, put your phone down. I'll take the photographs.
Yeah.
I'll share them with you. Do you know what I mean? But some people, I think it's just the way people are these days that they're a lot more comfortable looking through their phone and it's a different experience completely. Mm. But if I can give them a little bit of relief or respite from their phone and they know that once they spot me there, that they're going to get a collection of decent images that they're going to be able to view in a few hours' time when I post them. So it's like, okay, maybe they can calm down and put their phone away, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned several times that you hated videos already. You did make one for Hosier.
Yeah, I did.
Which I understand you the start of your research arc for that was how to make a good music video.
Yeah, I know.
Are you going to do any more?
Yeah. Well, like, you remember how I said I'm always learning? That was a learning experience for me. I landed in America for the start of one of our runs there this year, and he had a song that was about to come out called Too Sweet, and the management was like, will you do the video? And I was like, what? And they're like, you're doing the video. It's like, oh, okay. And I would, you know, I pride myself on being a photographer first and a videographer second, but I've learned it now. I've learned how to do it and put it together, and it's grand. I've learned a lot since then as well. I'd probably do it a little bit better, and but you know, it served its purpose. It was nominated for a VMA, and I'm just like, what is going on?
Cool.
It's grand. Like, it did the job, and the song is a banger, so it went very big and viral, which is brilliant. I think now that I've kind of got my head wrapped around video, I wouldn't completely shy away from it, but I'm very much a stills photographer. It's just in me, you know. I see in stills. I like to tell a whole narrative, a whole story through one very poignant photograph. I think there's always going to be room for photography. Video over the last 10, 15 years in the music industry has gone huge. It's such a huge part of my job now, and that's, I'm accepting of it reluctantly. But I don't think we're saying goodbye to photography either just yet. So
Yeah. Because I was asking Ruth about this before we came on air, but like, you are that soldier in that you're on tour mostly with Hozier for long periods of time, where you don't know where you are.
Yeah. We've had a really good run, a long stretch of it lately. This tour started in the Academy in April 2023. So it's been kind of on my radar since then. And we were out since like June 2023. So I've been on the road for about a year and a half, I suppose, with this album. And there is times, like we did America, we did North America and specifically three times. And that's like three 10-week or 11-week stints, and you spend a lot of time there not knowing what is going on, up from down, left from right. There's a lot of time where, like, I'd wake up in the tour bus and you don't know where you are. So I drop a pin in Google Maps just to see where it lands. And I'm like, oh, I'm in Boise today. Yes. You know, hello, Boise. And I go and I look to see, what is there art galleries around? Is there a nice coffee shop? Or when you're in Europe, you're like, what country am I in? What language do they speak? How do I say thank you?
But you do get a chance to even see the place.
I try and make a conscious effort of getting a couple of days away from the madness of tour when I have time. But it's been so busy because he went number one and it's just been absolutely so busy. But I will try and get to some of our favourite places. I mean, we're blessed as well because we're so well taken care of. We went to NASA and we got a private tour and we went to Graceland, and I'm just like, I shouldn't be telling people this because my job sounds so cool when really it's not.
No, it sounds like a living hell.
Absolutely.
But like, if you're, you know, you're on the road for months at a time and then you come back here, does it feel weird in that you kind of, the forward motion has stopped for a while?
It's bonkers. And, you know, I don't like to stop. I just don't like to stop. I do like to keep busy. So, like, we're home for, I think, 3.5 weeks during October now before we go to Australia again. And I crowbarred in an exhibition of solo work that I did. Nothing music related. It was a portrait series. And I was just like,
Mae Kay in one of them.
Yeah, so Mae Kay's like, in it.
Yeah.
It's portraits of Mae Kay, essentially.
Okay, so nothing to do with music then. You're right.
Mae Kay. You're dead right. But it wasn't on stage. It was shot around Ireland. And, you know, I do like to keep stuff in like that because otherwise my brain just suits being active and being busy and this kind of nomadic journey that I'm on every single day, just going and taking photos and taking photos and taking photos.
How do you pack for that, even?
Oh, my God, with great skill and patience. I live in a suitcase. I live in, like, and I love my suitcase. She's very cute. You have to have this relationship with it because it follows you around everywhere and it can be a nightmare. But you constantly are in a cycle of pack, unpack every single day.
And who does your laundry and that kind of stuff?
So the tour does the laundry for
you.
Do they?
Well, oh, wow.
When's the last time I saw a washing machine? You know? We don't get to see washing machines, so it gets sent out. But I'd love to do my washing. It's so weird having someone else wash your knickers for you, you know, every day. It's very, very strange. And like, I'd love to make
it. How many people around the world have seen your knickers?
I've seen my knickers. I live with that thought. You know, we don't even get to make a piece of toast. And I love coming home and driving my car because it'll be months. We've like 3-4 months before I've sat and driven my car. So all these little kind of things. Right, I tell my best friend when she's at home and I'm like, what are you doing today? She's like, I'm just going, you know, doing the shopping. I'm like, oh, where are you going? Are you going to Dunn's or Tesco's? What's going on? And she's like, like, you are weird. I'm like, I just miss it so much. I miss the mundane life. Yeah.
Obviously, you love it. Obviously, you would. Yeah. But does it ever get, like, if you're doing a year and a half with the same artist and you're hearing the same songs again and again, towards the end of it, can I get a bit of, you know, because I imagine even the musicians go, I'm sick of playing this one.
You have ups and downs, definitely. Like, I suppose it's like being in any creative industry and you're doing your practicing your craft every single day. You go through phases of getting into a rhythm with it and working with the music, and, you know, images and creative angles and shots are just flowing out of me. And then there's days where I'm banging my head into a brick wall. I'm like, this is Groundhog Day. I can't make it work. Mm. And I think that's just everyone. It's the ebb and flow of everyone's creative kind of practice. I like the tunes. I have to like the tunes now.
Yes, yeah,
but it
obviously
helps me to sing along. And I also just, I put in my own lyrics, so I keep it fresh.
Yeah, okay, that's a good way to do it. So you're here until just another
next
couple
week,
of,
then next we week. Head off again, yeah, to Australia and New Zealand for the end of this tour.
Okay, and then you'll be back for the Christmas.
Yes, yeah. hopefully.
And then in the new year?
I don't know. I just need to get through this bit and then we'll see.
Yeah, then we'll see. Doubt if you'll be here for much longer after that. Ruth, no. Thanks a million for coming in to talk to us today.
Thank
that was Ruth Medjbear there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.